Amen. Somebody forgot my shovel. Okay. Yeah, I want my shovel. Okay. While he's getting my shovel, let's go to John 3:16. Let me do this. That's right, Jackie. Dig deep. Okay. Are you there? Let's read it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Amen. Amen. We you know how I am. We have to remember that part, folks, and not condemn anybody for anything. Rather, forgive them and keep loving them. I shared with you, we're continuing in this vein, that God told me some very specific things, you know, concerning me first and concerning us, the church. He said we're not where we should be. We should be much further along in our progress. We should have a stronger presence, and we should have more of an impact on the affairs of this world. And he said the world should be looking to us because we are demonstrators of the standard by which one should live. That's what he said. So would you go to Luke 6 real quick. And in verse 40, beginning with verse 46, in the New International Version, Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" Turn to your neighbor and say, "Why is that?" Okay. Well, that's what he wanted to know. He said, why you call me Lord, Lord, I tell you to do something, and you don't do it. I mean, that's what he was saying. He said, "As for everyone who comes to me, hears my words and puts them into practice, I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep," say deep, "and laid the foundation on a rock." How do you get to the rock? You got to dig deep. What does it take to dig? Does take a shovel. Obvious answer here. Takes energy also. Takes effort. Takes sweat. Takes discipline. Because once you dig, you can't dig a little bit and say, "You know what? I don't see it," and go and try somewhere else. You have little divots in your yard. No, you have to stay focused and keep digging until you uncover the rock. And once you've uncovered the rock, you want to start building, so you don't want anything else to get between what you're building and the foundation. Because if you do, you're going to have a shaky building. And too many of us have shaky buildings because we've allowed stuff to get in between us and our foundation. He says, "I will show you what they are like. They are like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on a rock. There you cut off in mid-sentence. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. It was well built. But the one who hears my word and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation." That's where that saying comes into place. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. Okay. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete. Think about that. Big torrent of water, huge wave came and hit this house built on the rock, didn't even shake it. But the one that was built on the sand, it didn't shake that one either. It just collapsed it. There wasn't even any resistance. It hit, gone. It just collapsed. One translation says, and great was the fall of it. Why? Because not because they used substandard building materials, but it wasn't laid on the foundation of the rock. It was just built without a foundation. Folks, we have to have foundation to our lives. And that foundation needs to be Christ. If we go around and Christ isn't our foundation, we're going to fall for anything. I mean, we're going to fall immediately. There's no resistance. See, we have to stop being, we need to go after the substance, not the superficial. Okay? Remember what I showed those who were here Sunday? Remember what I showed you with the egg? Okay? We cracked that egg open and nothing came out. There was no substance to it. How you gonna build an omelet? You like Terry that time with the wine? When he yelled out, I ain't got no wine. I ain't got no egg. Okay. So this series that we're in is called A Different Look at Faith, because we're just looking through a prism. That's all. And we're seeing things a little differently. Because some of us get stuck, and we don't want anybody to get stuck. Okay? Now, one of the things that I wondered about was how I could be in faith about some things and struggling with others. Because it doesn't make sense to me. You know, I believe, wait a minute, if I'm in faith about everything. So why is it that some things, no problem. Other things, I seem to struggle or I seem to waver. Do you know there's still some people that get on my nerves? Can you imagine that? But I'm in faith. So why can't I just walk in love regardless? You know, I've always thought like that. I'm one of those, how come hot dogs come in packs of 10 and hot dog buns come in packs of 8? You know, I mean, I'm one of those kind of thinkers. It's like it doesn't make sense to me. And I like to try and make things make sense. And so I just look at things a little differently. But Jesus said, look at John 16. How many of us believe the scripture? Okay. Jesus said, take notice, John 16, I'm in the Amplified Bible, beginning at verse 32. Said, take careful notice, an hour is coming and has arrived when you will be scattered, each one to his own home, leaving me alone, yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world you have tribulation and distress and suffering, but be courageous, be confident, be undaunting, be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished, my victory abiding. So even though we know Jesus told us that if we're in this world, stuff's going to happen, but don't be concerned about it because he's already conquered it, we get concerned. We get concerned about it. Again, and I wanted to know why. Luke 22. These are all familiar biblical accounts. Beginning with verse 31 in the King James. Lord was talking to Peter, and he said, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And Peter said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou hast thrice denied that thou knowest me. Amplified Bible says Satan has demanded permission to sift all of you like grain. But I've prayed especially for you, Peter, that your faith and confidence in me may not fail. And you, once you have turned back to me, back again to me, strengthen and support your brothers in faith. Peter said, Lord, I'm ready to go with you both to prison and to death. The Message Bible, he said, I've prayed for you in particular that you will not give in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. Peter said, I'm ready for anything with you. That's what he said. I'm ready for anything. I'd go to jail for you. I'd die for you. Jesus said, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Peter. But before the rooster crows, you'll have three times denied that you know me. Well, to me, the way I think, there seems to be some contradictions in there. Because I believe that Jesus' prayers are answered. Do you? So if he prays that Peter's faith will not fail, what's there for Peter to convert? If his faith won't fail, why would he deny Christ? You know, I just start thinking about those things because it all lines up with my first thought. You know, why is it I am so confident in some area? Just like you, nobody can talk you out of salvation. Nobody can. But there are other areas where we can be talked into what wisdom says and not do what God says. Why would there be a time of testing? You know, why would he have to be converted? Why would he deny him three times? What's going to cause his faith to lapse that he would even deny Christ, who he said, I'd even die with you? I want you to write down go with you and just underline it. And I'm going to come back to that. Now you just stay with me because I'm taking you on a short journey. I want to show you something. In Matthew 14, this is the account of Peter walking on the water. It says, and when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up to a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. Now notice something. It doesn't say any of the disciples were concerned about the wind being contrary. They were in the boat. Okay. What they were concerned was they saw Jesus walking on the water and they thought he was a ghost. Okay. They were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it's I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come upon thee on the water. And he, Jesus, said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him, and said unto him, O thou of, wherefore did thou doubt? The King James says that immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said, O thou of little faith, wherefore did thou doubt? I was laughing when I read the Phillips translation because it says that once Jesus reached out his hand and caught him saying, you little faith. I could just picture him looking at Peter and saying, you little faith. You know. What made you lose your nerve like that? See, Peter failed to complete a command that was given to him, even though he started out right. How many of us have failed to complete, even though we started out on the right path? We started out doing everything properly, and then something happened, and we fall short. And we need to find out why. Something on my mic? See, it started out fine. Okay. See, Peter failed to complete the command given to him by Jesus, and I wondered how that was possible. Because according to the scriptures, it appeared that Peter was very close to Jesus on the water. Because the Bible said immediately he just reached out. So that means he, how many of us, we are right there and something happens and we stop. And we think we can't go any further. We're right there in arm's reach and we don't continue. We have to understand why we allow that to happen so we can finish. How are we going to finish the race that is set before us? Can you imagine running the marathon and you run 25 and 3/4 miles and say, oh, I can't do this. You can see the finish line and you still don't finish. Why is it that you can be so close, but something happens that makes you feel so alone? So alone. All of a sudden, Peter felt like he was out in that water all by himself. We know he took his eyes off. When you take your eyes off Jesus, when you're in the middle of the ocean, and you take your eyes off Jesus or off something, when you're looking, all you see is ocean. And in this case, all he saw was rough waves. So we need to understand Jesus' response, O thou of little faith. Was Jesus talking about the amount of faith? Could have been the size? Could have been something else? So I went and I looked in the concordance because I like to know. Because I know some things in the Bible, you know, it said metaphorically, and that's fine. Some things are not. Some things are crystal clear. But I like to know all my possibilities. So I looked at the concordance. And according to the concordance, O ye of little faith can mean of little faith. Or it could mean you're trusting too little. But it also said something else that caught my curiosity. In the concordance, it also used the word incredulous. Lacking confidence in Christ. Lacking confidence in Christ. So I wanted to know more. I've heard people use the word incredulous. I'd never used it. I've heard it. So I decided to look it up. Incredulous means not credulous. I'm like, that doesn't help. So I looked up credulous. Okay. It said some other things in there, but the first one I saw said not credulous. I'm like, disinclined or indisposed to believe, skeptical. That's what incredulous means. Credulous, listen to this, willing to believe or to trust too readily. Means you hear it, you believe it. It said especially without proper or adequate evidence. Means you don't need to make sure. Jesus said it, I'm gone. That's it. I don't have to wait for 3 confirmations. Jesus says it, that's good enough for me. I'm gone. So I put the word incredulous with faith. I said, O ye of incredulous faith. Why do you doubt? O ye who need more proof that Jesus can do it. Why did you doubt? See, too many of us need that tangible evidence before we will move. And if we're moving along and all of a sudden we don't sense that evidence, we stop. We think we missed it. We don't realize just because I don't see it, I know Jesus put me on this road. And so I am going to see this through. I mean, I don't have enough time to tell you about all of the things I had to endure when I was assigned to Love Christian Academy. Not so much with students, more with the parents. I can't tell you what I had to endure, Deacon Esmond probably, and Deacon Renee probably understand, as the youth director. But I knew God put me in those positions. So I would keep going. And I didn't care who didn't like it. No one could make me turn away from what I was instructed to do. And I didn't care who they were or what they said. Folks would come to me and said, well, I think I need to go and speak about this with the pastors. I said, would you like for me to make your appointment? I kid you not. I said, would you like for me to make the appointment? And they'd look at me like, they're the ones who give me instructions. I'm going to do what they tell me, not what you want me to do. Okay? Now see, the reason I'm putting emphasis on that, so remember I told you to write down and underline, go with you. As long as we see Jesus, as long as we have a sense that he's with us, we'll keep going. That Peter said, I'll go to prison with you. I'll go to death with you. But if I'm by myself, okay, I don't know you, okay. You know why? He never, even though Jesus told him, he probably never believed that Jesus would ever be arrested or go to jail or die. Remember, Jesus had to rebuke them every time he told them what was going to happen. They said, nah, this isn't going to happen. Get behind me, Satan. You're an offense to me. But you need to think about that. You're walking with, you see all of these miracles, But you also see the Roman soldiers come and arrest him. Didn't give him preferential treatment. Didn't treat him like a dignitary. Treated him like a common thief. And spit on him and slapped him around. And Peter didn't run up and grab his hand and said, I'm going with you. Okay. I said I'd go with you to prison. Let's go. You hit him, you got to hit me too. No, he was walking behind at a safe distance, but he's watching this. And I like to imagine real life scenarios. I like to imagine, you know, what's going through hit Peter's head, because the Bible doesn't tell you. So I figure, well, if he's a human being, and he was, then he had to be thinking, now, no, I got water baptized. I ain't hear any voice when I came up out of the water. I can't command and have more than 12 legions of angels come. But Jesus said he could, but he didn't. Maybe he can't. Maybe he can't. All I know is if they'll do that to him with whatever power he has, I'll have that kind of power. What are they going to do to me? No, I don't know him. Let go of that hand. Why? Because he couldn't see. He really couldn't see Jesus being Jesus in that situation. And we get ourselves in situations and we don't see Jesus being Jesus. We think the situation is bigger. And we act like it. We'll leave and we won't finish. Because something happens to our faith. Listen to this. I read this. I enjoy reading this commentary called The Bible Illustrator. It's written by people, I stopped trying to look them up because they were so old. I guess they were pre-internet. I can't find the articles. Well, some I can. But, you know, with the very different articles and, you know, you look at all of the different approaches where people come from. But I found this one that the Holy Ghost kind of quickened. This is concerning Peter walking on the water. He says, Christ does not fail Peter. It is not the power of the word of Christ that gives way, but only the faith of Peter in this power or word. See, it wasn't Jesus' power. It wasn't Jesus' word that failed. Peter started second-guessing what Jesus said and who Jesus was that caused them to fail. So as long as he looks to Jesus, the word that Jesus speaks supports you. Well, listen to this. And he said, it's easier to believe in the ship than on the water. That's why, folks, we can talk a good game, but when something happens, okay, and we out there now, we start reassessing, okay? But listen to this now. Now, his fear, now because he's afraid, his fear replaces his faith. Replaces it. But here's the interesting part. Peter, in those extremes, he cries out to Jesus. Here's the amazing part. And this is why we have to get things back in focus and get our thinking properly, our thinking right, correct, whatever the right word is. Peter doesn't have enough faith. Listen to this. He doesn't have enough faith to continue walking on the water because Jesus said, even though Jesus called him, but he has enough faith to cry to Jesus for help. What's the difference? What you're watching. What you're taking in. See, I don't know if he closed his eyes or not. I don't know. When you're that afraid, he might have and screamed out, Jesus, help me, or I don't know. But if you don't think Jesus can take you, can keep you on the water, what would make you think he can save you from drowning? You think about that. See, the reason he didn't see Jesus or lost sight of Jesus, because he started looking at other things. And that's why we lose sight. We start looking at other things. That's why I lose sight. I'm looking at other things. I'm looking at things that, quote unquote, make sense. I look at things that are logical. I look at things that are there, right in front of me, saying, you got to deal with me. And I lose sight. What did Jesus say? What has God prophesied? We'll lose sight of that. You know, God will put you together with someone. Well, I guess we'll talk about marriages. We'll use marriage as an example. We'll believe God sent this person. This is my perfect mate. The minute they say something you don't like, you forget. And you don't treat this person like your perfect mate. You treat this person like someone that's challenging you out on the street. Whatever happened to God's greatest gift to me? Just because you say their behavior didn't line up with what you expected. You think about that. We get frustrated when things come up and we didn't expect them. We expected it would go differently. I didn't expect it would be this hard. One of the reasons my sister's in heaven is because she stopped fighting because she never thought she'd have to fight that long. And I would say to Pam, what difference does it make? You already know you win. I mean, she had no reference for this, because I'd say, when boxing matches started, these folks would just fight until someone got knocked out. Sometimes they went 30, 40, 50 rounds. They just kept going. I mean, even Jack Johnson, he got in the ring, and he knew he was in a fixed fight. The guy that was fighting him knew. He figured, so yeah, I'm going to have to endure some shots, and because, you know, he got to make it look real. But I know I'm going to hit him, and he's just going to lay down. And that's what Jack Johnson did. The right time, guy just threw a punch. Jack Johnson laid down and covered his eyes from the glare of the lights. That's what he did. Okay. That's what he did. He was in a fixed fight. But think about this. He was in a fixed fight, and he knew no matter what he said, he was going to lose. The devil knows that no matter what he says, no matter what he does, in the end, he loses. We know that. But we'll quit. See, he never quits. He does his job, but we don't do ours. So he cried out to Jesus, Peter did, fully expecting that Jesus would come. Well, if Jesus comes, he's no longer alone. Now he's again with Jesus. And, you know, it doesn't say Jesus pulled him and had to drag him to the boat. Jesus grabbed them. They walked to the boat. I can walk on water again. I'm with Jesus. I mean, the key is with Jesus. So obviously we need to understand that we are always with Jesus, or he's always with us. And we have to get to the place where, knowing that he said he'll never leave us or forsake us, should be enough. That should be all we need. We shouldn't be incredulous about it. We shouldn't need proof. John 20. John 20. Verse 24 to 29. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. This is after the resurrection. The other disciples therefore said unto him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said unto them, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Now, I don't know how much evidence I need. I'm not sticking my hand in an open wound. Okay. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. Well, if I'm Thomas, and I see him come through the walls, I'm like, I believe. I don't need anything else. Okay? But Jesus said to him, "Thomas," he said, "reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus said, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, because thou now has, you have acceptable proof, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen. Blessed are they that have nothing to go on except their faith. Blessed are they that have not seen and believed." See, Thomas was unwilling to believe unless he had what he considered to be credible, proper, adequate, sufficient evidence. Folks, this isn't a civil trial. See, in a court of law, in a criminal case, you have to prove your case beyond a reasonable doubt. But that's not in all cases. There's some cases where you just have to have a preponderance of evidence. That's all you need. And that's what too many times that's what we look for. Before we believe, we want to make sure we have a preponderance of evidence before we move, before we'll step out. I mean, I'm surprised Peter didn't get his stick and go down to the water. I don't know. This is going through. If it can't hold this, I weigh more than this. You know, I mean, we'll think like that. God said jump in the water. Is it cold? What difference does it make? Did he tell you to jump? Yes, jump. That's all, just jump. Why? Because he said so. And that thought that says, "Oh, I need to find out how deep this is," you need to get the shovel and dig that up. Why? It's messing with your foundation. And it's going to prevent you from doing what he told you. See, without the proper evidence, we're skeptical. And we wonder, all right, does that really mean that? I was talking to someone that said, "Oh, I wish we were able to raise the dead." I said, "Really?" He said, "Well, why do you seem so surprised? You said you were a believer." He said, "No, I had this conversation." Person said, "No, really, I believe if I just go out, I want to see myself lay hands on the sick and they recover. Have you laid hands on anyone? Oh, I could never do that. I'm like, why not? I said, do this. I said, now do this. I put my hand up. Put your hand on top of mine. I said, that's all. You just lay hands. Believing that everything Jesus said you can do, you can do. How can, now think about it. How can you get adequate proof that you can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover if you don't lay hands on the sick? Because if I say, you can lay hands on the sick and recover, watch, and I lay hands on them and they recover, you say, yeah, well, that's you. Say, I tried this. I never tried to lay hands on the sick. I just did it. I just said, the first time I ever laid hands on anybody was in, what would the parade just go past? Was it Springfield? And I went to the youth meeting, and Kent Booth was ministering. And I told him, I said, if you don't mind, I'd like to sit in. I'm the youth director at Redeeming Love Christian Center. He said, yeah, sure, come on. Then he had a service. He was laying hands on body. He said, oh, Greg, yeah? That's what he wanted. He said, go lay hands on those people. I'm like, he said, just go ahead. I'm like, okay, God. You put him in charge of this meeting. He told me to lay hands on these people. I'm laying hands on them. And I just laid hands on them. And what was happening to the people he laid hands on was happening to the folks I laid hands on, because it wasn't him, it wasn't me, it was God. Okay? It was God. But I had to do something. Saying, word's not enough. You need something additional. What did Jesus say about folks that needed a sign? He said, a wicked and adulterous generation. He said, well, that can't be me. I'm not married. Okay. No. No. You know what he meant. Okay. He said, but there shall no be sign given unto it except the sign of the prophet Jonas. In other words, knowing that 3 days he rose from the dead is enough. There's not going to be any other sign. Now it's time for action, not signs. So going back to Luke 22, Jesus is saying to Peter, I've prayed for thee that thy faith faileth not. So I did the same thing with that. Okay, Lord, what do you mean by that? To leave out. I pray for you that your faith will not leave. I pray for you that your faith will not cease. I pray for you that your faith will not stop. I'll pray for you that your faith won't be eclipsed like the sun and the moon. I pray, check this one out. I pray for you so that you won't be unsuccessful in the performance of my assignment. That's what he was saying to Peter. All of those things. I pray that you'll receive a passing grade. Because things are going to come. See, folks, just because you lost a battle doesn't mean you lost the war. I mean, how have you went to school? Right? Just because you may have not passed one test didn't mean that you didn't graduate. Didn't mean you wouldn't complete the course. It meant there was some additional work you needed to do to shore up an area. That's all it means. And so he was saying to Peter, look, I already know you're going to miss it. I already know. Don't stay there. Turn back to me. Get me back in your sights strengthen the brethren. Because the only reason, Peter, you're going to fail is because you take your eyes off of me and place it somewhere else. And that's the only reason why any of us fail. We take our eyes off of Christ and put it on to something else. Pastor Ed and I are constant guard against that. Yes, we have fiscal responsibilities, but we can't look at our finances and make choices based on what we see. We have to get the wisdom of God as to what he wants us to do with what we have. And what he tells us, we do. And so far, he hasn't told us to do two different things. And we will wait. And we will both get it. But we can't get anxious about it. And sometimes we have to catch ourselves. And things we have to deal with, we have to catch ourselves. Because we don't want to get caught up in what we see and start looking at what we see and not focusing on what Jesus said. And that's what we all need to do, folks. Just to make sure that our faith faileth not. And really, when I think about it, the issue is not, this is what came to me. The issue is not our faith failing. The issue is whether or not we're going to have incredulous faith. That's the issue. Because if we have incredulous faith, that'll cause our faith to die. So, well, how can you say that? Faith without works is dead. Is dead. When Peter was walking on that water and took his eyes off of Jesus and started looking at the waves, his faith died because he stopped walking and started sinking. How many of you know the difference between sinking and walking? Okay. And we don't want to do anything that causes our faith to die. And the only way we can keep our faith alive is by the proper corresponding action. Faith without corresponding actions is dead. It's dead. The good news is that you can throw it a lifeline by repenting and getting back in step. And it'll come to life just as fast as it died. But it's not dependent on the power of God. That's already there. It's dependent on what you believe about the power of God. Because if you don't believe God can, guess what? In your life, he won't. But you can change that anytime you want to. Using the same organs, your mouth. We have to start by what we say. We have to be mindful of the words we allow to come out of our mouth. We have to remember Hebrews 13. Because we have to know that we're never alone. I'm good. See where I am. Hebrews 13. Oh. I'm going to say this and quit because I'm at zeros here. For he, Jesus, has said, beginning in verse 5, and this is, I think this is in the message. It's in the message or amplified. I apologize, I didn't write down the translation. It said, for he has said, I will never, under any circumstances, desert you. Never under any circumstances. That means even if you did something wrong, he's not going to desert you. Nor give you up. He's not going to say, devil, take them. I had enough of them. Or leave you without support. He says, nor will I in any degree leave you helpless. Nor will I forsake or let you down or relax my hold on you. Assuredly not. Thank you. It's the Amplified. He said, assuredly not. The only question is, folks, are you going to be credulous or incredulous? That's the only thing. Are you going to readily accept what he said and act on it, or are you going to hold out for proof that you think is more substantial in his word? God said he couldn't swear by anything greater, so he swore by himself. So if God is good enough for God to swear by, why isn't he good enough for us to put our trust totally in him? Folks, incredulous faith will fail every single time. You want your faith to be credulous. You want your faith to be strictly in God said it, that settles it, I believe it. And you'll help keep your foundation clean, clear, fully exposed. Nothing between you and your foundation. And you know what's in your heart, you know what's in your mind, you know what you've been, you know your thoughts. I don't know them, nor do I want to know them. I have enough to deal with my own thoughts. But if you know the areas where you've been incredulous, get your spiritual shovel and start digging it up. How will I know when to stop? When it's gone. When your thoughts get right back in line, but then you want to keep your shovel handy. So if anything comes and tries to jump on there, you just keep it cleaned off. But you have to do it. God's given you the power to do it. Now you have to do it. Father, we thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your understanding. Thank you, Lord, that we'll take what we heard and act on it immediately. Father, we ask that by your Holy Ghost, you will reveal to us those areas where we're desiring proof other than your word. Expose those areas to us, Father, so we can correct them. And really, the correction is easy. We take your word and we act on it. It can't get any more basic than that. We thank you, Lord, because there is therefore now no condemnation because we're in Christ Jesus. So we are not condemned because we've missed the mark. We know that we are forgiven. And we thank you, Lord, because as we endeavor to stay focused on your word, to keep our eyes on you, we'll find ourselves missing the mark less and less and less. Thank you, Lord, for never leaving us nor forsaking us. And we love you, Father. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah.